I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1937. The Steelworkers Organizing Committee and U.S. Steel signed their first historic labor agreement. Previous efforts to organize steelworkers had failed due to the union-busting tactics of the steel mill owners. But in 1935, the passage of the National Labor Relations Act required owners to bargain in good faith with their workers. Armed with the protections of this act, the Congress of Industrial Organizations was determined to organize steel. The next year, the CIO set up an SWOC headquarters in downtown Pittsburgh, the heart of steel country. In fact, SWOC set up shop in the tallest building in Pittsburgh, the Grant Building. Many steel companies had offices in the handsome Grant Building, and the SWOC was taking the labor fight right to their doorstep. The Steelworkers Organizing Committee held rallies and sent organizers into the mill towns. They gathered 125,000 union cards in the effort. Their first big victory came when they announced a new agreement with U.S. Steel. The agreement included $5 a day for workers in northern mills, an 8-hour workday, overtime, seniority protections, a grievance procedure, and recognition of the Steelworkers Organizing Committee as the bargaining representative for the workers. Many across the country were shocked that U.S. Steel had sat down at the bargaining table. Despite this groundbreaking agreement, many of the smaller steel plants, known as Little Steel, refused to bargain with the Steelworkers Organizing Committee. 1937 was marked with bloody battles to unionize Little Steel. 10 workers in Chicago lost their lives. Yet, momentum was in the workers' favor. Finally, in 1941, Little Steel capitulated and came to the bargaining table. The Steelworkers Organizing Committee had won union rights for steelworkers across the country. In 1942, the SWOC disbanded and became the United Steelworkers of America.